Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
This is Tech News Today for Monday, August 9th, 2010. Tech News Today is brought to you by Slingbox. Watch your favorite TV shows when you're away from home with Slingbox. Check out Slingbox at a Best Buy near you or at slingbox.com. Welcome to Tech News Today. I'm Tom Merritt.
And I'm Sarah Pitchin.
I didn't put the order in the spreadsheet. That's what happens. I programmed the show wrong.
It's always been around this way.
Sarah Lane and Darren Kitchen, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Nice to have you. Good to be here.
Also, back's Eric.
Hello.
I let you out of the editing room, finally.
It did, yeah. It's daylight outside. I don't know how many days I was in there.
Watch out for the fiery day star.
Tough one.
It will give you a burn.
It burns like the fire
better
in Metroid.
Better than a fiery manhole.
Yes, definitely. And what is also better than a fiery manhole is a good Google and Verizon joint announcement. Well, because pretty much everything is better than a fiery manhole.
Depends on who you ask.
Google and...
Let's ask the FCC.
That's true. Google and Verizon made a public policy proposal announcement today at 1:30 p.m. Pacific, or 1:30 p.m. Eastern, 10:30 a.m. Pacific, saying that they have not made any business arrangement with each other, and all those reports that you've been hearing are wrong. They are asking for their policy framework to be enforced by the FCC with the power to issue fines. They want the FCC to be able to issue $2 million fines, which we can talk about whether that actually is any kind of fine at all for these kind of companies. And here's the framework. It would require wireline broadband. That's DSL and cable and all the stuff that's hooked up with a wire, right? To be strictly neutral, it would allow for additional, what they call differentiated online services in addition to internet access. And Verizon Fios is the one bandied about the most. Although they had some strange answer to a question. Somebody asked them, well, what's an example of another differentiated service? And they're like, well, you just want to twist our words. But let's say the Opera wants to like broadcast in 3D. They don't want to do that over the open internet. So there you go. That was another one of their examples. But Fios, I think, is a better example,
right?
Because it's like it's carried over IP. It's not carried over the same kind of wires that cable television is carried over, but it's not out on the open internet. And then they would leave wireless broadband largely unregulated.
That's the part that's killing me here.
Yeah, so we can kick that around too. But the key point on the wireline side is that there would be no selling of priority traffic slots over the public internet. And I haven't had a chance to read the framework, but from all the analysis that I've read, there wouldn't even be the ability to, say, prioritize video traffic over email or anything like that. It's just no priority traffic, bits are bits. But you could sell dedicated capacity to customers over a dedicated network. And that's the kind of thing you hear about sometimes when they're like, well, we want to provide better service to hospitals, where they would have a dedicated network to a hospital that the hospital would use for their own purposes.
Or like a VPN or something.
Yeah, again, not out over the open internet.
Right.
So... good or bad? Thumbs up, thumbs down? I mean, this is easy. This is easy stuff.
I'm still blocking it.
Right?
I mean, it definitely sounds good. It's got that touchy-feely. If you read the Google publicpolicy.blogspot post, it does definitely has that feel-good vibe to it. But there's just, I haven't read enough between the lines to really know how I feel, except for the part about the wireless that makes me very iffy. Kind of like,
what makes you iffy about it?
Well, come on, just because it's wireless doesn't mean it's any different than the internet. It's not. This isn't AOL or Prodigy. We're still talking about the internet. Mm-hmm. It just so happens to be over wireless,
right?
So I don't think that should get any sort of different rules. Not like the FCC. I mean, then again, I still am even more interested in seeing how the FCC replies to this. Like, you know, oh, FCC here, why don't you take care of these bad actors? And where are they going to? I don't know. It's just.
I think with the FCC calling off the talks last week, it sounds like the FCC got wind of this, said, yeah, we'll take it. We'll take that framework and run with it.
Mm-hmm. The only thing, we were making a joke earlier before the show where I said, gosh, can someone just summarize all of this? Because you read all of this and it's hard to wrap your head around some of it. And you did a pretty good job on your blog, so thanks for that, Tom.
Oh, yeah, sure.
But
Subreddit.com/blog.
Because I was kind of having a hard time finding too much of an issue with the way that things seem to be rolling out. Except that the Q&A session that Engadget was live blogging, I mean, it does make Google seem very defensive, and maybe that's just because of
what's been thrown at them so far.
It's kind of hard to read between the lines sometimes.
I think the biggest issues are with the wireless because, again, no regulation there. However, I made this point on This Week in Tech yesterday. With wireless, you have more competitors. You have the ability for the free market to actually come into play. With wired, you don't. A lot of people only have one or two choices where they live. Mm-hmm. And so it's hard to say, like, well, screw you with your bad practices. I'm going to go to somebody else's service when you don't have another choice. With wireless, you do have another choice. It's questionable whether there is enough choice. And Verizon was careful to couch this to say, wireless is still too young to provide this kind of regulation, but that sort of leaves a little bit of a door open to say maybe there would be added regulation down the road. We just want to be able to go put out all of our LTE towers first before that happens.
I don't know how I feel about there actually being, you know, real competition in the wireless space. You look at it, and I'm happy that we actually have four competitors in at least the cellular arena. These are the same four competitors that up their text messaging rates at the same exact pace mm-hmm. with each other. So,
that should be, and this is another concern that some of the public interest groups have noted. That would be a concern of the Federal Trade Commission, right? If there is to come in and say, like, wait a minute, price fixing here. You're all upping your text message rates at the same time. But this proposal would sort of kick the FTC out of the process, and that could be a bad thing for consumers down the line, wireless or wired. Well, it's going to take a little while to process more of this, but that's essentially the upshot of it. And we've got some links we'll throw in the show notes at twit.tv/TNT where you can kind of page through it yourself. I think my favorite analysis so far is from Wired. Elliot Van Buskirk says, here's the real Google Verizon story, a tale of two internets, and likens the Wired side of it to saying, you know what, we're gonna have a private internet, we're going to have a public internet. And he goes through, you know, whether that's going to be a good idea or not. Skype thinks it's a good idea to issue stock. Nobody does IPOs anymore. I'm glad to see Skype is up for this.
Me too.
Well, Facebook is delaying theirs, but Skype didn't. So
$100 million.
IPO days, they're back.
They're
it's
here
like 99.
Again.
Let's party.
All right.
Company said Monday that it has filed an S-1 statement with the SEC, the Securities Exchange Commission. And after the IPO, Skype will trade on the NASDAQ market. So we're looking at a way to raise some money to pay off a bunch of debts. Because if you remember, Skype was sold by eBay. Mm-hmm. And as part of that deal, they had to pay Nicholas Zennstrom and Janice Friis a bunch of money for the intellectual property that they were threatening to sue eBay over.
Skype's done a lot well since they separated from eBay, actually.
Have they?
Yes.
Yeah, they're doing all right. Yeah,
they recorded $343.8 million in net legal expenses in the last year for the settlement.
What's weird about this, though, is that, and Skype, the company, is the first to say so, is that they make all their money from Skype Out, which is the service that allows me as a Skype user to call my mom on her landline because she's not another Skype user and I pay a small fee for that. Well, I mean, it's almost like the service is based on wanting a certain amount of people not to be using Skype. Because if my mom's using Skype and I'm using Skype, then we talk for free.
Yeah.
So it's like, that seems like a somewhat strange way to set up a company. Of course, they're now talking about, yes, we're aware of this issue. And that if everyone signs up for Skype, which would be the reasonable expectation for a company if you want it to grow, we're looking into other areas of monetization, such as in-call advertising.
Yeah, but it doesn't hurt Skype if you and your mom chat on Skype because it doesn't use any of their resources, essentially, since it's a node and super node-based peer-to-peer network. So, you know.
But I'm also not paying for it.
Well, yeah, you're not
so
paying for it, but everybody else
profit.
Is kind of like paying for it in donations of their bandwidth.
And it does have you telling people about Skype, and then they're more likely to go check it out and maybe download it, and maybe they'll buy Skype Out for some reason. So it's sort of that idea of spam, right? You don't get a whole lot of return on spam because most people just delete it. But if you get that really small sliver, it makes it worth it to send out spam.
Yeah.
With Skype, it's like, you know what? We'll give it away to almost everybody, but if we get enough, you know, of a percentage of those people doing Skype Out, then we make, you know, several hundred million dollars.
And Skype as a free service is, you know, just as disposable as any other. If a competitor comes around that's just as good, there's no reason to really stick with them. I mean, come on, it's a VoIP solution. I mean, the tree-hugging Linux hippie inside of me hates it because it's not SIP. It's not a open mm-hmm. protocol. But then at the same time, you know, the giddy tech enthusiast inside of me sees this IPO, and then I get cannonball's eyes.
We also learned a little bit more about how much was paid, $340-some million paid to Zennstrom and Friis to resolve the patent issue. Skype has also invested $6 million in RDO, which is Friis and Zennstrom's latest service, $10 million in Atomico Ventures, a VC-funded operation by the pair, and Zennstrom and Friis also own a bit of Skype. They got some stock as part of this, so... We hadn't known what the settlement was, but now because of the IPO filing, they had to make that all public. Let's go on to Verizon Rumor Palooza.
It's the Verizon Rumor Roundup.
So we'll get to this in calendar, but we're supposed to get a Droid 2 sometime this week. And so we're getting pictures leaked out, and Gadget reporting that Best Buy has a picture of the Motorola Droid 2 with $199.99 tag next to it. That means $200 with 2-year activation. And there's also evidence that it would be $500 if you don't want to sign a contract.
$599. Yeah.
Oh, see, I looked at the picture, and the picture said $499, but that's not
$600.
That's a different. Yeah, it's $600 regular price without activation.
Yeah,
it's a steepster.
$600 unlocked though, but $200. That's
standard.
That's pretty normal.
Yeah.
Also, TechCrunch reported over the weekend that iPhone would be coming to Verizon because hey, it's been a while since somebody reported that iPhone was coming to Verizon. Their reason.
I'm shocked. Shocked.
Their reason this time.
Where are your sources?
Was that they had some sources who noticed a huge order of CDMA chips at a manufacturer, and they say they traced it back to Apple, and why else would Apple be buying CDMA chips? And knowing what the supply lines are like, it would be a January release, they say, for Verizon iPhone.
I don't mean to, you know, no spoilers. So, you know, if you don't want this to be spoiled, skip ahead in the podcast. But Darren, the podcaster from the future, came to me over the weekend and let me know that Apple's phone is just a phone and that it's going to be on more carriers than just one.
But when?
It just will.
Couldn't he tell you more details?
That's all Darren, the podcaster from the future. These things come and go, you know. I
still don't think we're going to see a Verizon iPhone until you've got LTE rolled out in more places. And we have a little hint into when that might happen. Boy Genius Report has the wireless 2010-2011 roadmap for Verizon, and one of the elements they found is that they're aiming to have 75% of the country covered in LTE by April 2012. Well, if you need 75% of the country covered for an iPhone on Verizon, then we're not even going to see an iPhone on Verizon in 2011.
Right.
So, I don't know. The other side of this is AT&T is saying in their earnings report a lot of stuff about, you know, when these exclusivities that we have end, it's not a big deal. We're going to be fine. We've got lots of handsets. We're diversified. Please, stockholders, don't freak out. And the stockholders are like,
stop protesting too much.
Why are you telling us this? What exclusivity in particular are you talking about?
No one actually mentioned exclusivity until you did. So.
We believe offering a wide variety of handsets reduces dependence on any single handset. And we know what single handset mm-hmm. they're talking about. So, I don't know. You triangulate some of these rumors, and it does seem like we might be getting a little closer. Other Verizon rumors in the roadmap that Boy Genius Report uncovered is a 7-inch screen Android tablet with Android 3.0. And probably the one that I got most excited about was the Motorola Droid Pro, which would have a 1.3 gigahertz CPU, 4-inch screen, and global roaming capabilities estimated for a launch of November 2010.
Which means Droid 2? Wait, is that? Do we still care? No, I don't think so.
Especially this thing. Well, it's got a keyboard.
Got a keyboard.
Oh, the other one that got me excited was an LTE MiFi device from Novatel coming in January or February that would support 10 simultaneous Wi-Fi users
and kittens.
And well, if they have Wi-Fi, yes,
nice.
Up to 10 kittens, Wi-Fi enabled kittens. So there you go. There's your Verizon Rumor Palooza report for today. Let's thank our sponsor, Slingbox, for helping to bring you that and all the other stories that we've given you today. Slingbox lets you take your TV anywhere. If you haven't heard about it before, you haven't listened to many of these podcasts. You can go on any portable device, your iPhone, iPod Touch, well, almost any device, iPhone, iPod Touch, BlackBerry, laptop, MacBook, Android, mobile phone. You get their app. You go to Best Buy. You buy a Slingbox. You bring it home. You hook up your Slingbox to your TV and your internet connection, and then you put it out there on the internet, and once you've got it all installed, you can watch whatever TV you get at home wherever you are. So it's great for traveling. It's great if you're, you know, at on a boring date and you're missing your favorite show. You can just kind of string the earphone up one side. You know, and
when
nod.
I'm usually at Valentine's Day dinners with you and Eileen,
I noticed that you kind of tend to gaze off.
I think Slingbox
after a while.
It starts to really help me.
Slingbox
keep
is
engaged.
It's great if you're on a business trip and let's say you want to watch your favorite sports team, but they're blacked out. You don't get the game in the hotel room. You can watch it off of your home TV. Any channel you get at home, you can watch anywhere you have an internet connection. So why not try an in-store demo at a Best Buy near you? Or visit slingbox.com to find out where you can find that demo. On to Jambool. Because, well, why wouldn't you call the company Jambool?
Because all the other company names are taken, even fake ones.
Yeah, I mean, talk about IPv4 being short. We're running short of names soon. I'm telling you, this is going to be a problem.
We'll just go to an IP6 kind of name base.
Yeah, bigger name
Have
base.
You seen EEF5204D6A's new phone? Oh my gosh, so amazing.
I'll have to go to non-Roman characters.
Yeah. Anyway, what is Jambool? Jambool is a service that provides social gold. It's a virtual currency. Virtual currencies are really hot these days because people are using them in games especially and across various games. Like Zynga has their own virtual currency. Jambool is going to be bought by Google, according to TechCrunch, for $55 million plus, another $15 to $20 million in an earnout. And so it continues the Google march of buying things.
You know what else Google bought?
Slide?
No.
Oh,
a micro drone.
Oh, this is scary.
This is awesome.
A blogoscope site that was reported on Slashdot says Google has purchased a German micro drone for evaluation. Devices can take off, fly a mission, and land automatically using GPS, and they carry night vision cameras or even see-through walls, far infrared cameras.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing.
Google Street View.
You shouldn't
Google
expect privacy in a room with
view.
No windows and no doors.
Absolutely.
What Google if you will be able to see the
you
masons.
You want privacy, you go live in a storage unit.
Yeah.
Until then...
An infrared impenetrable storage unit.
The world's information needs to be organized, and sometimes that information includes the layout of a building on the inside.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, we've all seen the spy movies.
Sometimes it includes you in, you know, dressing in the
But
morning.
Obviously, they're not going to do any kind of Big Brother stuff because the German company here that sold it to them, let them know that das ist sehr verboten. Yeah.
Right. You cannot. You cannot use these drones to look at anything that's forbidden.
Yes.
That's
but
part of the terms of service. So Google would be breaking the terms of service if they spy on you.
Heaven but physically, forbid. It's possible.
Yeah.
They're just going to say, we won't.
Also, where can I get one of these?
Google employees are also mounting, with some help from NASA, the Nexus One PhoneSat project to launch low-cost mobile phone components that can withstand space travel.
Oh, well, so we're all going to need that soon.
Really, Google just... They want to launch things.
They're thinking ahead for you.
They want to launch things into the sky. All right. This almost seems like an old story, partly because I talked about it on This Week in Tech, but it broke kind of earlier in the weekend. Mark Papermaster, who was the executive in charge of hardware for Apple's iPhone, has left the company. And when they first announced he was leaving, everyone screamed and said, aha, it's AntennaGate. He's taken the fall. He was responsible for the antenna. But then people started to look at it, and they realized that, well, he was missing from the AntennaGate press conference. He was missing, actually, before AntennaGate even became AntennaGate, from any kind of videos about the iPhone, including demonstrating the antenna. So most people have come to the conclusion that he just didn't fit in at Apple, and they fought really hard to get him.
Are you sure he was missing, or he was just lost and he couldn't get, you know, signal to get his Google Maps to load up?
He never returned his calls.
He's going to
so
be late.
So they had to fire him.
My message won't go
I texted
through.
You that I was late. Were you holding it in your left hand, Mark? Yeah. You know, you don't fit in here.
Mark, remember, you're the one who originally told us that there was a problem. We'd like you to leave.
Wall Street Journal says that there were broader cultural incompatibilities between Papermaster and Jobs. Wall Street reports Mr. Papermaster had lost the confidence of Mr. Jobs months ago and hasn't been part of the decision-making process for some time. So it seems like they fought really hard to get him away from IBM. There was a lawsuit involved. And then once they got him, they were like, okay, you better be worth it, dude. And apparently he didn't live up to that expectation. They talk about the micromanaging at Apple in this Wall Street Journal article, and that Papermaster just didn't micromanage enough.
I'm I'm trying to find a good Jobs Papermaster type joke. It's not coming to me, but I think there's one in there somewhere.
About the name?
Yeah, it's just a great last name. Papermaster?
He should have been in charge of ebooks.
Papermaster fails to increase nice. Jobs. That doesn't quite work.
I guess Apple is a paperless office.
Hey!
A papermasterless office now, that's for sure.
Too bad his name wasn't iPhone Master. He might still have a job.
Yeah, or antenna
master. Now just
master,
a paper mistress.
Or Apple master. He couldn't master their culture.
Ooh, there you go. Paper master.
All right. Let's move on to Rim, who over the weekend did come to an agreement with Saudi Arabia. So they are going to, it sounds like from all reports, locate some servers in Saudi Arabia. This will probably point the way to the other countries that have leaped up. We talked about the fact that United Arab Emirates has a problem with BlackBerry and wants to surveil. We talked about Lebanon saying something about that. We've talked about Kuwait now has jumped in on that. India has been saying it for years, according to Nilay Patel on yesterday's Twit. And also now Germany has
not
issues.
One of the countries I would expect to be part of that group of country names.
A spokesman for the Interior Ministry of Germany told reporters in Berlin that it is recommending German government departments avoid using not only the BlackBerry, but also the iPhone. His ministry cited an increase in cyber attacks on the government's network, and Bloomberg News reports that German government ministries have begun using the Simco 2, a phone developed by a unit of Deutsche Telekom.
That makes sense. I was going to say, what do they say is wrong? Not Deutschcom.
You know what's wrong? Rim is Canadian and the iPhone's American.
Yeah.
Let's use this phone, Simco 2.
Hi, German.
Flash forward joke in there, if anybody gets it.
I don't.
You go ahead and make it yourself, because none of these people watch Flash Forward. So.
Sorry.
Anyway, BlackBerry, Rim, you were saying this in the prep meeting. Rim seems to be following a nice pattern that we've seen before.
All of this has happened again, and all of it will happen.
All of this has happened before.
Thank
all
you.
Of it will happen again.
Sorry, I'm head in the clouds at the moment, but suffice it to say, this looks very similar to Palm. This might be their folio with the
black pad might be their folio. And they have a problem here that Palm never had, which is everyone wanting to surveil their data because they actually run the data through their own servers.
I don't see what the big deal is because the BlackBerry is the easiest to hack phone. It's the easiest to push fun little Java code to SIM cards and make stuff happen. And that's where I will have to leave that. But it's anyway. I'm just surprised that there's so much in the news lately about all these countries and BlackBerry when really when it comes down to it, BlackBerries are the ones where, oh, you want the microphone on?
Do you think that RIM would abandon the BlackBerry model where they just say, you know what, fine, we're just going to make phones that access the internet the way everyone else does because it's too much trouble to run the BlackBerry servers?
Don't want to spoil anything, but I
but future Darren
but
says future,
no this is crazy wackadoo Darren, the one sitting right in front of you right now that thinks that there might be an Android future for because let's just face it, RIM makes some amazing hardware, but you know this 6.0 stuff is just not doing it for me.
So you think that they saved themselves by switching to Android?
No, they follow Palm completely, just like with the Trio 700W running Windows.
HP ain't gonna buy them though.
And
BlackBerry has a much wider hardware portfolio than Palm did, at least at the end. So they've got a ways to go before they burn all that out.
Oh, I agree. I mean, they're not like let's not start the death watch, just yet. But
yeah,
that's my gut right there.
All right. You can also now put Flash on your iPhone easily. Frash is the name of an app that is now available in the Cydia store. If you've jailbroken your iPhone or your iPad, you just go to Cydia. You have to add a source repo.benm.at, and then you search for Frash, F-R-A-S-H, and you can add Flash. Well, you can add Frash, which allows you to play Flash on your iPhone.
Is there a significance to the name Frash, or is it another one of those? Let's just call it something.
Well, if you're familiar with checking the emails, then
Strong
yes.
Bad, Homestar Runner.
There you go.
No?
Really.
If
nothing?
You can type with boxing gloves on, yeah. A little place in my heart for you.
Okay. You can install Frash on your lappy, too.
Scroll button on the laptop.
Finally,
Smash.
Boing Boing, through their new Boing Boing Submitterator, which I want to steal because this is would be a way for me not to ever have to look at the news again. They created this amazing thing where they allow all of their readers to submit stuff, and then they can grab it and put it on the blog. They don't have to write blog posts anymore. They just make the whole audience do it. Anyway, a BB Submitterator reader, Obey Ken, said, I know that man about internet, John Hodgman, has come out strongly against the whole meh thing, but I couldn't help whipping this up, and he's made a Facebook meh button.
I love that.
Honestly, I want to, if this was on Facebook, I would click like next to the meh button and break the internet. But yes, I like the meh.
I like the meh.
So, you know, when you see the Facebook like, don't like, you don't have to click like or just not click anything. You could click meh and be like, you know what, I want to express my ambivalence.
Right. This just isn't interesting to me.
Although
some sites already do that. BuzzFeed does that pretty well.
They do a meh button?
Well, they don't have a meh button, but they have like, I think this is lol or heart for liking or broken heart for not liking things. So there are other ways to express ourselves besides thumbs up.
Yeah.
Meh.
Although once you start to take a position, then aren't you violating the spirit of meh by actually
saying that
having
it's meh?
To say it's meh?
Not on the internet. I think people can be very, very in control of their meh feelings.
I also hate it when people mispronounce it. It's got an H at the end.
Meh.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
What,
it's not that hard to say.
What else do people say?
Me?
People say meh.
Although this
meh.
This would break Facebook's...
I would refuse to be friends with those people. Meh.
It would kind of break Facebook just being a positive reinforcement place. There's no thumbs down on Facebook, you know?
Yeah, it's a fairyland of nothing negative.
Well...
It's about time they got
then
something.
Then jerks like me will comment, unlike.
Unsubscribed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. It is time for us to move on to the news fuse.
Oh.
We're waiting for something to happen. Oh, do you not have the link for the news fuse?
That was Jammer B on Friday.
Oh, that's right. We forgot
Poor
to
Eric.
Tell Eric.
I'm
Okay, so right next to news fuse in the lineup, there's a link. And so just load that up and get ready to play, and then we'll do this all again.
Okay.
All right.
I am so confused.
Boy, I wish there was something else happening on the show. I guess we're done.
So anyway, that's all meh for me.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay. Just tell me when
you miss a few days and the whole show changes. Okay, what is this going to be?
This is Tom's last day, by the way.
Yeah, full screen it.
It's better with video. It's a lot better.
This is so awkward.
See?
Yay!
Hey, we got rid of the beep.
Yeah, Eli actually redid it.
Oh, that's nice.
You couldn't figure out where the beep came from.
Eli, you're the best.
All right. The BlackBerry Curve 3G, which will get an upgrade to the new BlackBerry 6 OS, is coming out in the next few weeks, according to T-Mobile. The Curve sports a 624 megahertz processor, GPS, Wi-Fi, 802.11n, and 3G HSDPA internet connectivity, although it keeps the relatively low-res 2.4-inch 320 by 240 screen and a 2-megapixel camera.
Ooh. The Xperia X10 Android smartphone will be available on AT&T starting August 15th for $149.99 with a 2-year contract. It has a 4-inch WX VGA capacitive touchscreen and a 1 gigahertz processor, an 8.1 megapixel camera with an LED flash, a gig of onboard memory, plus a 2 gigabyte SD card included in the box, and Android 1.6.
Ooh.
But enough of all that specs talk, on to hooking news.
Yay.
Craigslist has responded to an open letter claiming the site helps promote prostitution. Craigslist responded by asking if the crimes had been reported to the police, adding it was combating trafficking. Craigslist stated that they want to learn more about any misuse so they can improve their preventative measures.
And finally, the woman at the center of the sexual harassment probe that led to the resignation of Hewlett-Packard CEO Mark Hurd has come out to say she was taken aback by his departure. Jody Fisher, a former salesperson and actress, claims there was never an affair or sexual relationship with Hurd, and she has resolved her claim against him. Fisher may be best known to this audience as the voice of a telepath in the game Star Trek Starfleet Academy.
Was she paid any money?
For Star Trek Starfleet Academy, I would assume so, yes. No, apparently...
Regular SAG fees.
Yeah, apparently she didn't take any money from Hurd, and she's shocked and taken aback and saddened and all those things you are.
He still resigned,
yeah.
So take from that what you will.
It's probably an RSS feed. You can subscribe for the rest of that story.
Should we move on to the calendar, gentlemen?
Yeah, let's do.
All right, coming up this week, record-breaking patch Tuesday. That's tomorrow. Dun-da-da-dun. BlackBerry Torch will be available this Thursday, August 12th. It's also the rumored day of the launch of the Droid 2 phone. And QuakeCon 2010 begins in Dallas also on Thursday.
All
so
right.
If you're into that, get down to the Lone Star State and have yourself a ball.
Who doesn't love a good QuakeCon? Voicemails, you can be part of them. 260-TNT-SHOW. I asked for some last Friday, and I got this one.
I'm just calling you, Tom, because you said you wanted someone to call. Tom, I'm here for you, man. It's okay.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that.
How much better
that.
Do you feel?
A little, lot. A little better.
Just
I mean,
a little?
Really what I wanted was like 20 to 30 seconds.
Something relevant.
Responding to a topic on the show, maybe some insightful comments that would be of interest to the rest of the audience, an ad, something to the discussion. But I didn't make that clear. So it's on, that's,
a,
on, that's on me.
You got a kumbaya.
Yeah.
A Google Voice kumbaya.
You know who needed to make that clear? You know who's got two thumbs and needed to make that clear? This guy.
Should I let them know? The anonymous coward, should I let him know how you do that? What you want to do is leave something very similar to what you would find, say, if this were a /.story. You just want to scour for those +5 insightfuls or +5 funnies. Submit us those.
Great. Now that's all everybody's going to do.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying verbatim. I'm just saying. Treat the show as if it were a thread.
Use that as inspiration.
Yes.
On to the emails to tnt@twit.tv. David in New Brunswick, Canada says, hey, TNT crew, just a comment about the browser privacy. When running in private browsing mode, Google Chrome actually disables or doesn't load any of the extensions when you are in that mode, so they cannot track what you are doing. He and about, I don't know, 25 other people either called or emailed with the same thing, so I went to check because the stories all said that the researchers claimed that extensions and plugins were a problem in all 4 major browsers. I looked into their PDF and I found that in particular with Chrome, what they found is that Chrome's incognito mode disables most extension functionality, but plugins, including plugins bundled with extensions, are enabled. So yes, you're right, all you people, about the extensions being disabled, but there are plugins that aren't.
Are there plugins that are obvious, such as the Flash? Well,
yeah, Flash.
Besides the Flash plugin that are a good example in this case that people should be thinking about?
Yeah,
I can't really think of anything besides Flash when I think of a plugin.
There's lots of plugins for...
Well, your comment cursor, obviously.
Obviously.
Or your Bonsai Buddy. Where would you be without that?
Right.
Not here.
Those are horrible examples.
That's for sure.
But true. there's lots of little JavaScript-y plugins here and there that sites will... I actually don't like to go to sites that do that, that make, like, you have to install this plugin. Flash is about the only one I enjoy. In fact, I run NoScript specifically to prevent them from...
What about Silverlight?
Silverlight is a plugin. Yeah, that's a good one. There's another good example.
That one really bugs the Jesus out of me.
Speaking of legitimate stuff here, we've got an email from Isaac who writes in and says, Dear Tech News Today, I just listened to your show from August 6, 2010, and I thought I'd understand in your amusement at the employee jailbreaking the iPhone. Perhaps it's time to call a spade a spade. A jailbreak is a rootkit, and anyone installing a rootkit onto a device to be sold to someone else is a very bad idea, TM. Also, a pleasure to hear the latest news bites on your audio podcast. Hope the show does well. Thank you, Isaac.
And
while I take issue with calling it a rootkit, as that might imply that it has a nefarious purpose and that we can all kind of hopefully agree that the dev team doesn't have any sort of nefarious purpose like that, it is true that when you root your phone, just like I do on my Android one, and I have to consider the Cyanogen mods or the Bugless Beast or whatever it is you run as your alternative to the factory operating system, there's nothing to say that somebody can't bake something in that you would not otherwise know is there.
Isaac was not alone in taking us to task for perhaps encouraging people
we
to jailbreak.
We may have come across a little flippant
phones
on Friday's
First
show.
Of all, Isaac, I mean, these phones are the demo phones. They're not going to be sold to people. I don't know what happens to them, but they generally do not sell you. In fact, I've asked, like, hey, can I get that phone for like a discount? And they're like
the
no.
Floor sample?
Like, we don't have floor samples at the Apple store. So
yeah, that's where they put the 2 gigahertz process. No, I'm joking.
Yeah, right.
I'm joking.
So it's not as bad as all that. But you're right. It could be considered vandalism. So don't do vandalism.
Yeah. I think we may have said something like, good for him on the show on Friday. And
yeah,
that was,
we take that back. I take that back.
That was not intentional to be taken so literally. Okay, last email from Ron Harwood, Perth, Western Australia. Hello, Ron. He says, hey, TNT crew, I went to an electronic retailer and looked at the keyboards. My friend Sam said after so many years of keyboard manufacturing, they still haven't managed to remove that clicky sound of the keys from all keyboards. I like the clicky sound. He doesn't. What are your thoughts? I would have posted the question on Facebook Answers, but I would much rather ask some IT professionals like yourself then the entire world. Love the show. Keep up. What is that sound?
Oh, I just...
What is that noise?
Just using my IBM PS2 keyboard to do a little twittering. Sorry.
Is that an 83
key? Is that bothering you?
Yes.
I'm sorry. I'll put it away.
I tend to... What? How? Where?
Well, it's just, you know...
It's connected to his Unix.
Don't you carry an IBM PS2
to a Unix terminal?
Yeah. You know, it's for the Unix terminal we keep under the desk here.
Well, I don't think that's Twitter compatible.
Now.
You can't tweet from that thing. It's too clicky. Okay, so I guess we all have to take a stance here. Are we pro-clicky or anti-clicky? I am anti-clicky. The sound makes me stabby.
I love the clicky.
Love the
in
clicky.
Fact,
why?
In fact, it is good that even, you know, since we share a working space, that this is a PS2 cable and not a USB cable.
Oh, no,
I would have
this next week.
No, I know I can mod it. I'm just lazy enough.
Bringing
you
the
use that as an external keyboard with your MacBook?
Oh, yeah. I used this as my external keyboard for years and years until finally I had to use a USB and I was like, oh, I need to get an adapter and I never got around to it.
I love it because it feels like you're typing.
No,
people know you're working when they hear that.
Right.
It's clicky, like little ladies with high heels clicking all over the place.
No. Is that what you see in like your mind?
It's like little Barbie shoes. Yeah.
That would freak me out if that's what I saw when I heard this.
Three words, Tom.
That's what I see.
I hear people
in my
working.
Nightmares.
I hear productivity.
You know when you string together like three commands that are like piping standard in and out to each other with that keyboard and you just slam enter with so much decisiveness, you know it's going to run so much faster too.
Yes. Whatever.
That's a sound of executable. Right there.
Schmod plus 777. There we go.
Wow.
Three words, Tom. Already. PS2 to Bluetooth.
Yeah. Oh.
Jailbreakme.com.
Yeah. Uh-oh. Sarah's getting stabby. We better stop.
We're going to mod it with an iPod dock.
Anti-clicky right here. Proud of it.
All right. Thanks, everybody. You can express your views on clicking us or anything else by emailing us, tnt@twit.tv. Thanks to Sarah and Darren for being on the show with me, and thanks to you guys for watching. Find us on the web, twit.tv/TNT, or give us a call, 260-TNT-SHOW.
DEFCON coverage at hak5.org.